All those that act like children, you need to go to the nursery.
Yeah, that's us.
All babies to the nursery. And here's them.
Yeah.
Yay.
Well, keep my wife in prayer. She's got sick on me last night. I'm going to tell you something. I'm one of the best nurses that you've ever seen. She came in and she said, "Feel my head." I said, "Why?" She said, "Well, I think I've got a fever." I said, "Well, I won't touch you." I mean, I've got a life here. I ain't going to sacrifice this deal. What's going on here? She said, "Touch my forehead and I'm going to slap you. It don't make no difference to me." Now, you see, that's how things go, you know. I tell you that real quick story because I'm glad. I prayed. I said, "Lord, anybody that needs to hear this sermon today, let them be in the congregation." That's right. See, you don't need to hear this because the subject is Jesus Lord over your tongue? I get the right group. True story. So many years ago, I'd been here maybe 3 or 4 years. Back then, I did a lot more counseling than I do today. And I had married this younger couple and then started coming to church here. And so they'd been married about 6 months, and the wife comes to me after church one Sunday. And she says, "Can my husband and I meet with you one night this week? We got some issues." I said, "Sure." So we set a time. So they came, and, you know, it was sort of pleasant. You could tell she drug him to get there. You know, most men don't like that kind of stuff, and I understand that. So, you know, she's going on, and finally he would speak up a little bit and chime in here or there. And I said, "Well, I think part of the problem is, you know, when people get aggravated at each other, believe me, we all know what we're talking about here, okay? I've been married 37 years. I've been down the road too many times, okay? You have too. And even if you're not married, you've been down the road with somewhere, a brother or sister or a co-worker, somewhere you've been down the road where communication breaks down." Oh, yeah. And I told him, I said, "Well, why don't you try this?" And I was talking mainly to the husband. I said, "Instead of y'all just going at each other, why don't you just slow down, maybe ask a couple of questions, and try to find out why the other one is, you know, upset. Come with an open mind. Nobody here is perfect. Okay? And try that a little bit. See if we can work a little bit. Okay? This means yes. Y'all agree with that, don't you?" Yeah, I understand. Yeah. So what? Okay. Now, the next week, they come in. The man sits down. He looked me right square in the eye. He said, "I want to tell you something." He said, "That advice is not worth 2 cents. And I said, "Well, why?" He said, "Well, I asked 2 questions this week, and it got, now, this is true. I asked 2 questions this week trying to improve my communication skills with my wife, and it didn't work." I said, "Well, what 2 questions did you ask?" He said, "First of all, I asked her, how come you can't cook like my mother?" That was in the form of a question. Number 2, he said, I asked her, he said, "Why do you act like a maniac?" He asked her 2 questions. So can you see a little bit where communication possibly may have not been exactly the way it was supposed to be? You understand that? Okay? You understand that? Carl, you listening?
I'm listening.
Okay. All right. Gotta understand. Sometimes, you know, you got to step back and think a little bit before you what? Speak. That's right. Think before you speak. And actually, God's Word has a lot of advice on this. Okay? Because if you do stop and think, before you open up your mouth. Now this could be on all kinds of levels. This could be at home, this could be at church, this could be at work, this could be with your children, this could be with your parents, this could be with your in-laws, it could be with anybody. Stop and think just a little bit, because the most trouble that I've ever got in my life is when I didn't think, but yet I decided I would speak. Now, everybody has a little fun saying men are the masters of that. Alright? And maybe that's true. But hey, come on, girls. Sometimes you step right in the mud as well.
Amen.
Okay? He's not thinking anything. Yeah, there's my prime example right there, okay? Now that comment's going to cost him for a week. I promise you that, okay? Alright, now, read it with me, Carl. Is Jesus Lord over your tongue? Alright, here we go. Let's go with some scripture. Yeah.
Oh, here's your
feet. Oh, my goodness gracious. Here we go. Let no, Paul's speaking here. Let no corrupt speech proceed out of your mouth, but such as is good for edifying, which means getting along, as the need may be. I need to get along as the need may be. Do you know how that need needs to be? Every day, every moment, I need to get along. I don't want to fight. I don't want to argue. I want peace. When I was in my 20s, I liked to fight. Now that I'm older, I don't like to fight no more. So I try to think. Okay? So, be such as good for edifying as the need may be, that it may give grace to them that hear. And grieve not the Holy Spirit of God. The number one thing. Number one. Biblically proven over and over and over and over and over again. What grieves the Holy Spirit sometimes is your mouth. Okay? And sometimes, and I say this all the time in the advice I've given over the years, including myself, it's not what you say sometimes, it's how you say it. Okay? Because I can say something and really be a little kind behind it. It may not quite be as bad, but if I come across rough, mean, bad mood, whatever the case may be, you know, you get up some days and you say, hey, you don't want nothing part of me today, because it's just the way it is. We go to work sometimes with that kind of attitude. Oh, no, no, you don't want nothing of me today, get in line, okay? I mean, I understand, we sometimes have these moments when actually we are not acting like Christian people. I said that slow because I want to make sure that we all understand. We have moments, everybody here's had these moments where Christianity was a long way away from how we acted and what we said. Is that true? Say amen.
Amen.
Sure it is. Now, understanding that Satan wants to control our mouth. If he controls nothing else, he'll make life miserable for us if he controls our tongue, controls our mouth, controls our attitude. Because what's in the heart comes out the mouth. What's in the brain comes out the mouth. If we think it, we say it. And sometimes we don't think very well. Because if Satan is controlling our minds, he will control our tongue. And then the battle's on. The party's on. And then there's no Christianity. All it is just self-absorbed. I don't know if I said that right, but it sounded all right. All right? You're absorbed in yourself. I'll rephrase it. Okay? Because then it all comes about you. I'm the one that's the victim. I'm the one that's going to battle you. Don't come at me. Don't condemn me. Don't judge me. You know? You haven't walked a mile in my shoes. So shut your mouth. Okay? I mean, sometimes that's what I want to say to some people. Hey, no, 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 you don't know. You don't know. So quit acting like you know, because you don't know. okay? If you don't know, then shut your mouth. Now, that's what I want to say. But sometimes you can't say that, especially if it's your boss. You know, how many times does people want to say that to Marcia? No, they're not going to do that. Because Marcia heard you, she can what? Fire you. That's right. So sometimes I always say this. Pick your battles. If you're going to go to battle over something, make sure it's worth it. Just because I put two different colored socks together, it's not a battle. Oh, you've done that, haven't you?
Oh, I never do that.
No.
I think it's funny that you've done it.
Yeah, thank you, Carl. Now look here, and grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, in whom you were sealed until the day of redemption. Thank God for redemption, because if it was up to our tongue and up to our mouths, let me tell you something, we condemn. Jesus says, learn to shut your mouth, and then you will be redeemed. There's a big difference. All right, now here we go. Look at this one. Let all bitterness, wrath, anger. Clamor means when you just talk and you're talking so fast, you're like a clamoring cymbals or something. And railing means you just go. Be put away from you. Fall malice. And, here's a big word, be kind one to another. Tenderhearted. Forgiving each other. Even as God also in Christ forgave you. 31 is all about attitude. Even if you've convinced yourself that you have the right to be bitter. And this is really what it comes down to. Let me just do some psychology here 101. You convince yourself, I have the right to be bitter. Okay, maybe you do. Some people go through hell on this planet, folks. Some of it's their fault. Sometimes it's other people's fault. But sometimes people are not treated fairly in this world. And it makes people bitter. Bitter means they can't get over it. They cannot move on. Some do seek out counseling. Seek out different avenues. Some of them have to deal with medicine to get through it. But that's really what bitterness is. I cannot get past what's happened to me. Well, let me tell you something. The only way you're going to do it is through Jesus.
Amen.
I don't want no other way. I'm not saying medicine can't help. I'm not a doctor. Not a pharmacist. I'm not saying that medicine can't help. I'm not saying that counseling can't help. Prayer helps. But when it gets right on down to it, it's going to take you and Jesus to get you on the other side of it. And until you do, you're going to be miserable the rest of your life.
Amen.
Amen. Let me tell you why, when you look up here at verse 31, all this other stuff, wrath, anger, clamor, railing, all this stuff that just means you just can't let it go. Bitterness is the very first thing. And it says all. You see that? Not just some of it. You got to get rid of all of it. You got to get rid of all of it. And then here's the biggest part of the reason why. And if you're watching me on the internet, listen very closely because I'm telling you the truth. The reason that you cannot get through a lot of it is you refuse to forgive others, but you also refuse to forgive yourself.
Amen. Amen.
And when you do that, folks, life is the worst. People have done that. We got teenagers. They make a mistake. And they live with that mistake the rest of their lives. Folks, let me tell you something. None of you, I don't care whether you're old or young, can go back and change your past. Some of you would change some of it. I'll admit to you, I would have changed some of it. But I can't. It's behind me. It's gone. All I can do is say, Jesus, forgive me for stupidity. That's a neat little prayer. Jesus, forgive me for stupidity, because I've been stupid. And he'll say, yes, you have. But you are. Now, how do you stop stupidity? That's a neat question, isn't it? Because we're full of it, aren't we? I'm talking about stupidity. That's what I meant by that. You're full of it. Okay? You're full of stupidity. I'm full of it. I'm telling you. Won't you say one word? Alright? But little by little, as I get closer to the Lord, he works on my stupidity. Because my stupidity really comes out very well, and I can't hide it when I open my mouth. Most of the time, if you keep your mouth shut, nobody would ever know how dumb you are. Now, that, I'm telling you, that's some advice here, buddy, that'll really keep you out of the doghouse and keep you out of any other house. Okay? Sometimes, just shut up. Quit telling people how stupid you are. Sit there, shake your head yes or no. Okay? Don't do that, because you're full of stupidity. I'm full of stupidity. Thank God. Thank God that I live under grace and not judgment, because the greatest thing I need grace over is my stupidity. Give the Lord a hand of applause. He kind of one to another, tenderhearted. And let me tell you something. People have told me this over almost 40 years of ministry. I can't forgive. If you knew what they did, you'd know. Well, folks, somehow lying, you're going to have to learn to. Because the Bible point blank says, if you don't forgive, how can you expect forgiveness? How can you do that? How can you work for that? You have to work for it. Maybe it's something that runs so deep in you that you can't do it today, but you need to work on it. You have to work on it. Say, Lord, work with me. Work with me. Work with me. I need to let go of this. Because if you don't forgive, you'll also be bitter. Life's too short, folks. It's moving fast. Moving fast. Be kind. It's an art. And you can be taught how to be kind through the Holy Spirit if you'll let him have your life. I promise you that. All right, Larry, here we go. Proverbs 18:21. We've got one more under this series, is Jesus Lord of your life, and then I'm going to title the next series called, I'm going to give advice. That's what I'm calling. And for a couple of months, I'm going to start giving you some advice. Man, you can't wait for this, can you? I may charge for it, but it's still going to be good. Okay? Everybody needs some advice. But let me tell you the truth. Advice is not coming from me. It's coming from God's Word. Psalms and Proverbs are two of my favorite books in the Bible because they're books of advice. Look what this says. Death and life are in the power of what? And they that love shall eat the fruit of it. Your tongue either separates or joins. And the power is in you. And if you love death, if you love your big mouth, you're going to get the fruit of it. If you love life, you live under God's grace, and you use your tongue for grace, you'll have the fruit of that. Either way, you will answer for your mouth, one way or the other. Now, you remember what they said to Jesus, some of the last advice that Jesus said while he was on this planet. One of his disciples said, how many times should I forgive? I'm just paraphrasing this one. And he says, forgive 70 times 7. Which is another way of saying you should always forgive. And this disciple argued with Jesus. I said, I think there's a time that maybe I shouldn't forgive. Jesus basically said this. He said, the day that you choose not to forgive, don't you ever ask me for forgiveness. Death and life, how you live, is under your control. No one else controls you. You control you. You answer to you. This is your life. This is your life to live for Jesus, or this is your life to live miserably. It's your life. You make the choice. Jesus is standing by to help you, love you, give you grace, give you advice, help you through. Because if that man could stay on that cross and tell his Father, forgive them, for they know not what they're doing. You've never been nailed to a cross. I don't care what someone's done to you. The problem is, you don't answer for that person. The only person you want to answer to one of these days when you stand before God is yourself. And he's not going to ask you, well, what did this person do to you? Oh, I feel sorry for you, Roger, because they said that to you. That's not what Jesus is going to say. He's going to say, what did you do to them? You forgive them? What did you do? And then I might say something like, oh, Jesus, you don't know what they said. You don't know what they did. And how stupid is that? Here's the king of stupidity. A lot of times when we pray, we're like, Lord, if you only knew what they did to me. Like, you don't know. But you know what? That person has got to stand before God one day as well. Don't take on the sins of somebody else. That's not in your best interest. I promise you that. You've got enough to answer for yourself. You with me? Okay? It's all about control. It's all about living under God's grace. And it's all about being a Christian. Is it truly more over your life? Most churches split, lose people, and go through a mess over the mountain. You understand that? You think God really, truly wants to bless a church where the people can control their mouth? I don't think so. And a lot of times it has to begin with the preacher because Lord knows, preachers talk a lot. We have to be in control at all times. Because I tell you what Satan loves and what he promotes is for you to be out of control. When you're out of control, I promise you, Satan is having a great day. I don't want Satan to have a great day in my life. I want him to have a horrible day. I want Jesus to have a great day in my life. It only happens when Roger learns to control himself and his mouth. And everybody said,
amen.
Stand with me. Head is bowed and every eye is closed. Father, I pray. Number one, if there's someone here today that is lost, someone here today that does not know Jesus as Lord and Savior, I pray that that person today will make the greatest decision in their life. And that is to come. Just say, Brother Roger, I want to be saved. I want to accept Jesus. I'm going to ask you a couple of questions. I'm going to have a word of prayer with you. And I promise you, it changes you for eternity when you give Jesus your life. If you're watching me by internet today, understand. If there's a church close by to you, get in that church. Get involved. If you don't know Jesus, you can bow your heads right now wherever you're at and invite him into your heart. Jesus, is he Lord of your life? Father, bless this congregation and all that we do. May everything we do promote. overflowed your grace and your love and your forgiveness. In Jesus' name. Your heads are bowed and your eyes are closed. Would you come in the name of Jesus?